This is the coronavirus update interview of December 30th, 2020 on Gila Mimbres Community Radio and KURU 89.1 FM in Silver City, New Mexico. I'm Jamie Newton, your host for today. My guest is Dr. Anna Rogers, MD, a family practice physician in Gallup, New Mexico. She has cared primarily for coronavirus patients since the pandemic began early in the spring of 2020. Dr. Anna Rogers, thanks for being with us on the coronavirus update.
Thank you for having me.
Dr. Rogers, although New Mexico's efforts to control the coronavirus pandemic have been beneficial, in early October, daily new infections quickly exceeded the previous peaks of late July, with hospitalizations and deaths rising soon after. As the disease continues to spread, healthcare workers and facilities are stretched beyond reasonable limits, and it may soon be necessary to move to crisis standards of care. That is, rationing treatment based on each patient's likelihood of survival. In that context, how can people best manage the disease without putting unnecessary demands on doctors and hospitals? And what do you advise people to do when they experience symptoms that may mean they're infected with the coronavirus or when they first test positive?
We have so few tools against this particular infection, more now than we did in March, but we also have shown what a stressed and strained healthcare system can look like, and what the implications are for our healthcare workers, for our communities, and for our patients. The best tool that we have against this particular viral illness is prevention and staying at home and wearing masks. As simple and as repetitive as that may sound, is the best thing that we have to help out, help prevent infection. For patients with early symptoms at home, getting tested is important so that we have a sense of what community rates are looking like so that we can do proper contact tracing and we can continue to prevent the spread. Even early symptoms, staying isolated and staying away from others who may get sicker from the disease than you would is a reasonable first step.
How quickly should people go and seek medical care when they feel that they may be sick?
It depends on the symptoms. If you're having mild symptoms at home, it's not an emergency. You don't need to call 911. But seeking care and finding the closest place to get a test is a reasonable first step. Some people have access to, temperature monitoring at home or pulse oximeters, so oxygen level monitoring at home. Those are reasonable things to do when you're first having symptoms. But getting tested and getting plugged into some type of, for us, we have our public health nurses monitoring in the community. Getting plugged in is a reasonable first step when you're having symptoms.
The coronavirus has spread ever more widely through America and the world for nearly a year now. Gallup, New Mexico, where you practice medicine, was described in the New York Times Sunday, December 27th, 2020, as among the towns hardest hit by the pandemic, with the most cases per capita of any metro area in the United States early in December. The Times noted that Native American communities have been particularly vulnerable to the virus, at one point accounting for nearly 40% of all cases in New Mexico, even though those communities make up less than a tenth of New Mexico's population. So, Dr. Anna Rogers, perhaps even more than our own community here in Grant County, the population in and around Gallup illustrates the health disparities that result from racism and inequality. From your experience, why are Indigenous people more at risk? And how are your patients, their families, and the community coping with fear, uncertainty, disruption of normal life, separation, loneliness?
Well, Jamie, I think that it's no secret that McKinley County has been very hard hit by this pandemic. And we also have seen across the country that marginalized communities, communities that have had limited access to healthcare over decades are being harder hit by the pandemic. There are a lot of factors that play into that. We have seen among, you know, Native American communities, but also among our immigrant communities, among African American communities, among Latinx communities, that the pandemic has been devastating to some of these communities, many households losing multiple household members to COVID. One of the strengths of a lot of these communities is family network and living in multi-generational homes. And because of that, having a respiratory illness is more prone to affect multiple members in a household. In addition, not all families have the luxury of working from home. Many families have to send a family member out to the community to work and to continue to bring in income. And because of that, that exposes an entire family unit and sometimes multiple family units to coronavirus. You know, the other side of that coin, as you alluded to, is the isolation and loneliness that comes with the things that we've asked members of our community to do. You know, asking our elders to stay home and not see their families and not see their grandchildren, you know, to some individuals is unbearable, and they would rather take the risk of being exposed to an infection that they may or may not die from. They would rather take that risk than the overwhelming loneliness of not seeing family for months on end and with no end in sight. You know, certainly earlier in the pandemic, it felt that way.
Long-term effects of the coronavirus are only beginning to be understood, but there are reports that a quarter or more of patients who are sick enough to be hospitalized experience serious impairment long after they're released as recovered, including shortness of breath, permanent damage to the heart and other vital organs, and cognitive disabilities. Dr. Rogers, have your patients included long haulers? What should our listeners know about the lingering impacts of COVID-19 infections?
It's a great question, and something that we are still learning about, seeing as we're just coming up on a year from the first early reported cases of COVID coming out of Wuhan, China. I take care of primarily acute care patients, hospitalized patients, and I've seen only a very few patients who've required hospitalization for ongoing symptoms from COVID. I have no doubt that in the primary care world, we are seeing lingering symptoms, whether those are respiratory, whether those are psychologic, whether those are cardiac symptoms. We are still defining what the long-term consequences of an infection like COVID will look like. And I think that it really does highlight the unpredictability of an infection where you may have mild symptoms or not even notice symptoms, but may have long-term consequences from an infection that we're still learning about.
So a primary factor in this disease is that doctors are being required to treat large numbers of patients with highly diverse symptoms, and that's all being done during the process of learning about the disease itself.
Yeah, this is a new disease process for us, and we are building the plane as we fly it, I think is the saying, that we are trying as much as we can to learn about a disease as we're treating it, trying to practice evidence-based medicine in a disease process where evidence is sparse and, you know, just coming through as quickly as we can get to it. You know, as we saw early on, we did try treatments that it turns out not only didn't work, but may have been harmful, things like hydroxychloroquine. But we've also seen treatments that are effective and that decrease mortality. We know that dexamethasone has an improved mortality benefit at this point. And was really, you know, when we started using DEX, it was a turning point in seeing more people survive, especially, you know, when we're treating acute care patients and the sickest of the sick, you know, from this infection.
One source of hope right now, including for eminently realistic people like Dr. Anthony Fauci, is vaccinations. Vaccines have been approved now after actual adequate clinical testing. And vaccination has begun for the most, the people with the greatest exposure or vulnerability, high priority people, healthcare workers among them. Dr. Rogers, with your experience treating coronavirus patients, what's your perspective on the promise and the prospective benefits of vaccines?
I am so hopeful that widespread vaccination will be what turns the corner in lowering case rates, especially in communities that were hard hit, like here in Gallup. We have seen the devastation from this infection. Families have been affected on personal levels, and the vaccine really is our hope for curbing the spread of this virus. We know that, you know, masking and staying home are helpful, but until we have widespread vaccination, we're going to continue to see case rates like we have and rising case rates as we've seen over the course of this pandemic. The vaccine is approved for emergency use by the FDA. Its safety and mostly its efficacy have really been demonstrated. And the mRNA vaccine technology, while you know, this is definitely a record in the amount of time it's taken to develop a vaccine, the technology has been in the works for over a decade. Scientists working on studying a vaccine for SARS and MERS, and was really just waiting for the right virus to come along to be able to use the technology. The efficacy is not in question. A vaccine that has efficacy of greater than 95% after two doses is remarkably effective. But I don't feel that it should change our practices at this point either. That even after, and we know, you know, after the first vaccine, it's about 54% effective at 10 days, or half of people will have some degree of immunity at 10 days. But after the second vaccine, you know, we've seen 95% efficacy rates. But it should not change our practice of wearing masks and distancing and protecting each other until we have really widespread community vaccination.
Doctors, nurses, and other healthcare professionals are trained to manage crises and tragedies, but how are you and your coworkers affected by this long ordeal that is far from over? You deliberately put yourself in a situation with extensive exposure to a potentially lethal virus day after day. How do you cope with fear, uncertainty, disruption, separation, and loneliness? These same impacts that affect people in the community. How can your patients in the community support and sustain you, the healthcare workers?
It's been an exhausting process, there's no question. And we knew starting out in March that it would be a marathon. I work an incredible department that has supported us each step of the way, creating schedules that felt manageable to us, and allowing us to have the time off that we needed along the way. We are privileged enough to be able to be connected to friends and family virtually. And so that has been a great source of support. But mostly, you know, to answer your question of what can be done to support healthcare workers, we have to curb the rate of transmission. And that is twofold. You know, prevention is two sides of the same coin in this pandemic, where, you know, wearing masks and social distancing, we know, prevents the spread. And getting vaccinated when that's available to you in your community is the only other form of prevention. And it's the only way that we are going to slow down the spread of a virus that has overwhelmed our healthcare systems. We rely very, as a critical access hospital, we rely very heavily on our bigger hospitals, on our tertiary care hospitals in Albuquerque. And there were days during this pandemic where there were no hospital beds available in the state of New Mexico, in the state of Arizona, and we were flying patients to Colorado and Texas. And the only way to decrease the strain on our healthcare system, to mitigate the strain on our healthcare system, is to prevent the spread of the virus.
You've been listening to the Coronavirus Update interview for December 30th, 2020 on Gila Mimbres Community Radio and KURU 89.1 FM in Silver City, New Mexico. My guest has been Dr. Anna Rogers, a family practice physician in Gallup, New Mexico, who has cared primarily for coronavirus patients since the pandemic began early in the spring of 2020. I want to quote from the current Time magazine celebrating Guardians of the Year. On the front line against COVID-19, the world's healthcare workers displayed the best of humanity, selflessness, compassion, stamina, courage, while protecting as much of it as they could. By risking their lives every day for strangers who arrived at their workplace, they made conspicuous a foundational principle of both medicine and democracy, equality. By their example, healthcare workers this year guarded more than lives. Dr. Rogers, you are one of these heroic healthcare professionals, and the gratitude Time magazine expressed so well goes to you from all of us. Thanks also, of course, for speaking to our listeners.
Thank you for having me today, Jamie, and for doing this interview. I hope that it gets some information out for your community.
Thanks, as always, to Marcus Hansen, our audio engineer and producer of Coronavirus Update. And thank you for listening and for supporting GMCR and KURU. Be safe and well. For GMCR and KURU, I'm Jamie Newton.